Okay. Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam Hilchos Yontif, Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin, Chapter 2, Law 7, in the Mishnayim text, page 200 and 201. We're talking about different aspects of Muktzah on Yom Tov. And the last couple topics were, are certain animals prepared before Yontif, and therefore you could shecht them or not, or use them and catch them or whatever. So we continue with another few examples of that. Zion. Dogim shebevivorim. Fish that are in large ponds. Fish ponds. Gedolim, big ones. Vechein, and similarly, chayav of shebevivorim. Or animals that are highest, wilder animals, and oaf, or birds, that are in large pens, gedolim, very large pens. Kol shehu mechusar tzida, any case where it's lacking being caught, it's so not being caught, atcharmin, that people would say, havei metzuda nitzana, bring me a trap so I can catch them. In other words, it's a big enough pen, or a big enough pond, and these fish and animals are agile enough, you just can't grab them in your hand. You gotta get a trap. And if you'd want to catch it, you'd be saying, if it's such a situation, you could say, okay, bring me a trap to catch him. Otherwise you couldn't catch him. Then, the halacha is hareza muktze. You can't have it, and we call it muktze. And furthermore, vein tzadin osab yantif. You can't catch it on yantif. And vein tzadin, if you did catch it, liyachu, you can't eat it. So let's think for a minute. So why aren't you allowed to catch them? What's the reason why you're not allowed to catch them? You've got to be careful, it's tricky.
You're not allowed to trap, though.
Oh, that's what you'd think. That's what you'd think. But all the commentaries say not that way, because why did the Rambam say, Harei ze muktze? This is muktze. Meaning to say, muktze means you weren't planning on using it. So all the commentaries say, according to the Rambam, you're allowed to trap on Yom Tov. Trapping alone is not a problem, because obviously if you trap something on Yontif, it's going to taste fresher than if you trap it on Erev Yontif. If you trap something on Erev Yontif and kill it, it's not going to taste as good as trapping it today and killing it. So in terms of the malacha per se of trapping, you'd be allowed to trap on Erev Yontif. But the problem is, because Muktzah, meaning to say, if it needs so much trapping, the guy probably doesn't plan on using it on Yontif. That's the logic of the Rambam. If it requires that much trapping, he probably wouldn't intend on using those. He would probably want to use the ones that don't need to get trapped. That's the only way I could figure out the wording of the Rambam, the way the commentators are explaining it. But and now, since you have already, in your mind, planned on not using it, now you can't trap it. Not because of trapping, because you can't use the animal that you weren't planning on using it. That seems to be the logic of the Rambam. Because why would the Rambam say it's muktzah? Don't say it's muktzah. Say you can't trap. What's up with doing muktzah? The Rambam should just say, if you're not allowed to trap, if that's a prohibited malacha on Yontif, then just say you can't do it because you can't trap. That's not what the Rambam says. It's areza muktzah. Muktzah means he wasn't planning on using it. So we have to say that if it was hard to trap, probably would require trapping. It's a kind of animal he wasn't planning on using on Yontif. He'd rather, you know, take it easier on Yontif. You have to understand why, but that is the only explanation. Because you look on the other side, it says, V'chol she'en etzarach metzuda, anything that doesn't need to get trapped, hareza mukhan, it's like it's prepared. And then look what you can do! V'tzaren also be Yontif. You could trap it on Yontif also, and you could eat it. Not with a trap, but with your hands. So you see you can trap on Yontif, because in the other case he says, go catch it now. But you didn't have to get a trap. In other words, you know, probably on Yontif, the guy doesn't want to go schlepping around with traps and all these things. It is Yontif. There's only so much work you want to do on Yontif. You know, he could technically do it. But you probably want the one that's easier to get a hold of. Because you don't want to come onto Yontif, you know, I hate to get a trap, I had to lift up a heavy trap, and I'm sweating, I'm schwitzing, and it took hours and this. It is Yontif after all. You want something that can be easily trapped. So if it's easily trapped, that's the one you're planning on using. When it's not easily trapped, it's not the one you're planning on using. And since you weren't planning on using, you can't use it because it was muktzah.
Robert, just according to your logic there about saying that you'd be able to trap it on Yontif because it would taste better as opposed to Erev Yontif. So what about Shabbos? Wouldn't it be the same logic?
No, on Shabbos you're not allowed to do anything. You can't do anything on Shabbos. Shabbos you're not allowed to do any activities at all. We said earlier in the first parak in the Rambam that there's an exception made on Yontif, anything to help you with food preparations. Shabbos, you don't have that dispensation. Since you don't have that dispensation, you can't do anything to help with food
preparations.
But
this is sort of a byproduct of food. You're talking before, you know,
it's not like a lot of slaughter, it's indirect food.
It's not really.
No, but anything that is necessary to bring this to the table to eat it. And that you couldn't have done earlier because, like, just look at, you're a lot of shecht on Yom Tov. Why? Because fresh meat tastes better. We wouldn't know. We haven't had a fresh piece of meat ever in our lives. You know, have you ever had an animal that was just slaughtered and you put it right on the grill? It does taste better. You know, from what I understand, if you catch a fish.
Yeah, that's true.
And mamish, you just kick it out of the water, smash it in the head, and put it on the grill. You know, it tastes better than by the time we get it at Sobeys, which is, I don't know, 2-3 days later, it's not the same. So we're never used to really eating anything so good in our lives. So we don't know what we're missing. We think the steaks we got are good steaks. Imagine if you shechted Bessie in your backyard, and within 2 hours you had Bessie rolling on that spit, and you took a piece of meat off, it would be much more geschmack. It is. So you're allowed it. You're allowed to dine on it. And again, I guess once you trap an animal, you have to kill it pretty soon because if it's trapped and not killed, it'll injure itself. So you trap it and shecht it. So that's what you could do regarding Yom Tov. You could do that. It's not a problem. But the Rambam is saying if you're ready to have to do all that work, or you're probably not going to have in mind to use such an animal, even though technically you could use it. Unless the guy would go out of his way and say, I'm going out of my way and I'm planning on using this animal tomorrow even though I need to trap it, then maybe that would be an exception. But we're going with generalities, and he's saying, generally speaking, he would not plan on using it. Similar case at the end of Halacha Zayin, v'chein chaya shekinun of apartes, let's say a wild animal that has nested in an orchard, and an orchard is a place that is protected. In other words, where the little baby, that's what we're going to talk about in a minute, can't run away easily. In other words, it's before Yom Tov, and you see this animal not far from you. It's not in your domain, but it's nearby. The commentaries say it has to be within 70 amos of the city limits. So it's very close to the city limits. And it's in a nest, in an orchard, which the baby can't get away. So you have in mind before Yom Tov, I want to take that baby. So therefore, you love there the little children, kishem ketanim, when they're small, shem tzrichim tzida, you don't have to get traps, ainim tzrichim tzida, you don't have to prepare them at all. Why? You don't have to specifically say you want them, and they should die for them because your mind is on them already. In other words, that's the whole idea. Before Yontif, would you be planning on using this animal or not? So an animal that has given birth to a little animal, in an orchard nearby the city, and you notice that on Erev Yom Tov, you don't have to say anything. You just have a mental idea. You know, that's something I might want to eat tomorrow on Yom Tov. And you can without any problems. Ches. Now, how about the following case? Mitzudas chayv oifes dogim shepersim Erev Yom Tov. Let's say you set some traps on Erev Yom Tov to catch wild animals, birds, or fish on Erev Yom Tov. You set the trap. When do you check the traps? On Yom Tov. You go off by the next day on Yom Tov, lo and behold, you got a nice deer caught in that trap. You got a nice fish caught in your net. So now, can you take that animal and eat it on Yom Tov? Well, let's think about it. Before Yom Tov, did you know you had the animal caught? No. You were hoping you might catch him, but you didn't know. So the halacha is, lo yitol mehem b'Yom Tov. You can't take those animals out of the traps for your own benefit on Yom Tov, unless Ellen Cain, unless Yodea Shinitsudam Erev Yom Tov, unless you knew on Erev Yom Tov he got caught in the trap, he said, I saw it got caught an hour before Yom Tov, tomorrow I'm going to come back, cake it and shecht it and finish it. Similar idea. Hasocher Amasamayim. A person makes a dam. Let's say have a little river, and the guy plugs it up on one side, plugs up on the other side, and now has to construct a little dam right over here. I mean, Erev Yom Tov on Erev Yom Tov. So why do you construct the dam? Because you want any fish that are in here to be stuck, which they are. Now you may not see them yet because they could be like underwater, but they're going to come out. So Lamachar, the next day, Hishkim, you get up, you see there's fish in there. You can take them. Why? Because Shekvar Nitzudim Erev Yom Tov. Because they already were captured Erev Yom Tov. By you making the dam on both sides, you've effectively captured them. And they are prepared for Yom Tov, and you may enjoy them. Test. Let's say we have a house that's full of fruits that are ready to be eaten. but you've locked up the house like on all sides, and you've got it totally closed off. Now, what are your exact plans? We're not sure. Not that you plan on selling them, but can you get to it right now? You can't get to it because it's totally locked up. There's like no way to get in. It's an interesting case. I don't understand. It seems to be a case without a door, without a key. Place. I don't understand. Because look at the next line. V'nivchas. And then somehow it gets opened by natural forces. Then let's say one of the walls starts to break. And they got a little opening. So now, and that happened on Yom Tov. So notol mimakom apchas, you can start taking from the place of where the opening existed, and the fruits inside are not considered muchtza, because there was nothing essentially wrong with the fruits. It wasn't fruits, for example, you designated for selling or something. You had it in storage. And, you know, the food itself was something you could eat at any time. There was only a little problem, couldn't get to it. But now that it happened to open up, so now that technical issue has been overcome, and you may eat it. It's a big chiddush, because I would think not. I would think if it's all sealed up, how'd you plan on ever getting into it? But the Rama is saying, no, you can. Or how about another interesting case? Ha'omed ala muktza. The guy standing by something that was muktza, Meir of Yontiv, before Yontiv. The specific case over here is you have fruits that you, let's say, put out on the roof to dry out. Okay? So let's say you have certain fruits. It takes, let's say, a week to dry out. Once you put them up on the roof, you don't plan on eating it until they get totally dried out. That's the case. But what does he do? But he's saying, yeah, they're drying out, but you know what? I still would like to eat them. I'm thinking about it. They're not totally ready, but I see I'm a little short on food, and tomorrow's Yom Tov, and I think I'm going to want to eat some of them. Now, there's one more point we have to add. Bashana Hashkis, in a Shemitah year. Now, why is he throwing in a Shemitah year? Because usually those fruits that you leave out to dry, you have not yet tithed them. So now you have a second technical problem. I don't care what, even if you want to have it, you haven't tithed it, so I can eat it. So we're talking about Shemitah crops that are hefker, they don't need to be tithed. So that's just a technical thing we're throwing in. So we're not going to have any technical problems. So now you got this fruit that's drying, it's not really totally ready, usually people wouldn't have it, but he's standing by it, and he's wanting them. So kol ha'peres hefker. Now all those fruits are considered hefker onerous because it's a Shemitah year. Now if you're going to want to eat any of those fruits, it's not good enough, like we learned yesterday, by some cases, just say that you plan on having them. Because since these have started off being asur, so tzarech sheyirshum, you have to make a designation, you have to make a mark. The yoman say, mikan v'adkan aninotel. On Erev Yom Tov, you make a mark here by the fruits, and say, from this to this amount of fruits, I'm taking them tomorrow. Only if you do that, then you can take them the next day. Being loved, but if you low rushing, you didn't make a mark, well, usually you can't take it. Why? Because these are really things that are not meant to be eaten until they're totally dry. And your mind is not enough to just in your mind, because it's so usher, it's so not on your mind, you have to do an action to overcome it, as opposed to what we learned earlier in the parak, where it's not that, like the doves or things like that, it wasn't so usher that you only have to have mentally in mind to have it, it's okay. But here you have to do a physical action. Okay, next case. Yud. Kusi shehevi sishua lisrol b'yontov. Let's say a kusi, a non-Jew, brings a present to a Jew on yontov. Can the Jew take the present from the non-Jew on Yontif? What, before we look on, what possible problems could you imagine being? Let's say it's kosher food. If a goy gives you a present, can you take it on Wednesday? Yes. If a goy walks in the room tonight, right now, gives me, you guys a present, you can take the present. Okay, now he's coming on Yontif and giving you the present. Can you take it on Yontif? Is anything wrong with taking it on Yontif? Can't see what it is. Well, what if the goy did a prohibited activity to get the stuff to you? And you will benefit from the prohibited activity. A goy is allowed to do it for himself. But let's say he did a prohibited activity which enabled himself to get the object to you. Now that could be a problem. So how are you going to know if he did it or not? So now we have to know what the situations are, the scenarios, for us to make a best guess estimate. So here's the example. If it's that time of year that this type of species brings, there's many of those that are still connected to the ground. Let's say the guy gives you a basket of oranges. And guess what? It's orange picking season. You look all around, there's oranges all over the trees. And the guy just brought you a basket of oranges. There's a great possibility that the goy picked those oranges on Yom Tov itself, and you may not benefit from the malacha that a goy does for you on Yom Tov. Or let's say, or he brought a wild animal, a bird or fish, that very likely he could have captured on this day. They're usur until that night. Now, you cannot enjoy it on that day of Yom Tov. And how long do you have to wait? The Yom Tov, you have to wait from after Yom Tov for the time it would take to do that prohibited activity until later on. Let's say it would take 20 minutes for the goy to harvest these oranges. So 20 minutes after Yom Tov, you can enjoy it. It would take them an hour to catch the fish. Then you have to wait an hour after Yom Tov. So the question like this. Let's say he got on the first day of Yom Tov. What is he saying? Can he eat on the second day of Yom Tov? Or is he saying you got to wait till Yom Tov's over the next day after? So the Rambam and main commentaries say what? No, that next night. That night of Yom Tov, you can do it. Why? They say Mamonashach. Let's say he comes to you this Rosh Hashanah is. Comes on Thursday and gives you a bushel of oranges. I don't know, maybe he picked them today. So the Rambam is saying you could have them Thursday night already, a half an hour, let's say, after Yom Tov. First night's over, but it's still the second day of Yom Tov. Why? Mamonashach. What was the first day of Yom Tov? Was it Yom Tov or was it not Yom Tov? We don't know, right? Let's say it wasn't Yom Tov. So then was he allowed to pick it?
Yeah.
So he could have it right away the second day of Yom Tov, because we'll never have a problem to begin with. What if the first day was Yom Tov? Okay, so I'll just wait, because the second day is not Yom Tov, and I'll wait it half an hour, and I can enjoy it. So according to Rambam, yes, you can have it that night. There are others who disagree, so you have to wait till the second night, and many of the commentators just don't understand why. Why do you have to wait a whole other day after Yom Tov? Because I shouldn't be able to have it afterwards. And that is the way we paskin. You can have it after the time it would take to catch it.
This also work in terms of, let's say, someone who's secular bringing you something on Yom Tov? Your question.
So that could also be problematic.
And why do they have a goy he mentioned here? I mean, a secular Jew and a goy would be the same thing.
So it could be
in
a
this
secular,
case.
Because I guess in the Rambam's time, secular Jews were doing these things. But you're right, it's the same problem. A secular Jew would do this as well. There are problems. So we have to know. So the question is, but it's a malacha. How many secular Jews are going to pick oranges off a tree and give you a gift?
Why would they be any different than a goy doing that?
No, I'm saying today. You have secular Jews who are going to pick oranges. They may be doing other things, but not picking oranges. That's a malacha d'oraisa.
But if they buy you,
what's the worst thing that a secular Jew is going to do for you? He's going to go into Sobeys and buy a kosher cake. I assume that's the word.
Bring you flowers.
Okay, but he's not cutting the flowers. Not necessarily cutting the flowers. I mean, let's take the typical gift. Let's go to the typical gift. What would you normally get from somebody? Let's say a bottle of wine. Bottle of wine. Okay. So bottle of wine. So what aver did they do exactly? Let's hear exactly what aver they did.
They drove the wine to your house.
Okay, first of all, they drove to my house, but they could have walked it to my house as well, right? They drove, but the bottle didn't drive. In other words, they could have walked to your house. Nothing happened to the bottle per se. No aver happened with the bottle. So we went to the LCBO and bought it. And what aver did they do already? It's only the Rabbanan. It's not a Doraisa. You know, they gave some money, but they got the bottle. Still, they didn't do anything. It's not like they squeezed grapes and made wine. So it's pretty hard for them to give you something you can't take. We'll see, there could be cases, yes. But generally, it's not most gifts you'd be able to take. Right? But we're talking, if they tell you, you know, here's some tomatoes, I just cut them off the garden 5 minutes ago, then you got a problem. But I've rarely noticed that that's the kind of gifts that people give you. They're not going to cut their flowers from their backyard. Usually they go to a florist, but that's been long cut. So they're doing rabbinic things that are not really to the item itself. It's just bringing the item. You hear the difference? The only problem, we'll see, there is one problem, might be a problem. We'll see in a minute.
So you could utilize the cake or the wine?
Technically, you could. I mean, there's no reason why. Because remember, they didn't know it was Osir. They didn't know it was Osir. And by Rabbanans, we can be, for Shalom Bias, we could certainly be lenient for that. For Shalom Bias. for drabbans. I'm talking about the raisins here. Remember, the rabbi, so it's a rabbinic, so and they don't even know it's usher. So, and for shalom bias, there's enough reasons you can be lenient if you have to be lenient. Better still be machmir if you can, but if you'll be insulted, right? Now, certain things you can do, certain things you can't do. Can you put the flowers and water on your Shabbos?
No.
That's why golden rule, if you invite a lot of secular Jews to your home for Shabbos, always have a vase of water ready. Because you can't draw the water, but if the water's there, you can put it in. So, you know, vase with water. Have it every Shabbos, and then once in 5 years. You know, it's a tricky problem. Best thing is tell them what to bring you before. But you're going to say, well, they're bringing the cake on Friday night. So, but are they really doing anything? Did they really buy the cake at Sobeys on Shabbos? Maybe, maybe not. You don't know. Even though they did, it's not that bad. They didn't do anything to the cake. The cake was still there. Remember, they didn't make the cake on Shabbos. They made the cake. Then you for sure have problems. So it's limited. We'll see in a minute. There could be one problem. But feel like that. Even a myrtle, ukiyes, or anything like that, and a mariach, whatever, you can't smell until the evening if the goy brought it to you and he could have cut it on Yom Kippur. You have to wait the time it would take to cut it and then get it. Now, but if on the other hand, what he brings you oranges and there are no oranges connected to the trees for months. So you know he didn't take it off a tree. Or the way the thing looks, you could tell it was already cut off yesterday or was captured yesterday, whatever. So no malacha happened on Yom Tov. He brought it from within the tachum. Remember the 2,000 amos. So he didn't violate tchum Shabbos. Mutter, then you could take it. Ah, but he brought it from outside of the tchum. Hareze osur, you can't use it. Right? That's the problem now, because that's a different problem of tchum. So now the question is, how often do you have a tchum problem in Toronto? It's, you know, unless the guy came from Mississauga. You know what I'm saying? The guy's coming from Bathurst and Lawrence to Bathurst and Clark. He's even going out of the tchum. Right? So that's the only problem if they do the aver going out of the tchum. The habab, Yishvil Yisrael, Zeb, Nichol's tchum. And even so, let's say Goy, Mr. Goy, goes for Reuven to bring Reuven the thing from out of the tchum. So Reuven can't have it. But mutli yisrael achah, but another Jew can have it immediately. Shimon can have it. So we see, even with tchum, now for the other cases, if it was something he would have ripped out of the ground, which is a real terrible issur, then no Jew could use it on that day. But tchumim, which are only rabbinic, so therefore when we make it forbidden on the one guy, we don't make it forbidden for other people as well. So that could maybe be a problem, tchum, if they bring you from the outside to tchum, that could be a problem. But again, it's usually not going to be a problem. So generally speaking, it's pretty hard to find a gift from a secular Jew that you can't make use of. Because they're really not doing any real averus to the object itself. So you have leniency to that. Okay, how long have you been going already? 20 minutes? Well, let's do another halacha or two. Yura. Eitzim shenashru min hadekel. Now let's say on Yom Tov, you have branches that fell off a palm tree. On Yom Tov, they just fall off. Be Yom Tov. So can you take, now let's, in general, are you allowed to, let's say you have branches that have already been cut off for Yom Tov, can you put them in a fire to increase the fire on Yom Tov? Yes?
The fire's going,
The fire's going already? You could put wood into the fire on Yom Tov, no problem. So let's say, on Yom Tov, a bunch of branches, a big storm, and it knocked down a bunch of branches. Hey, great, I have more branches, I'll just put them in the fire. But they were connected to the tree before Yom Tov. So, asur la'asikam, you can't burn them, mipnei she'en nolad. This is nolad, meaning to say, it's newly come into existence, right? Because it was something not usable before Yom Tov, and now it's usable. Other rabbis give another reason. Maybe if you use this, you might come on to rip other ones as well. Be that as may, you cannot use them. But if on the other hand, what if you're really, it's your lucky day? The tree happened to be on top of the stove. An outdoor stove. You're doing an outdoor barbecue, okay? And the wind blows the branches right into the fire. The nashu l'tocha tanur, what if the branches got pulled into the oven? So what do? Marbalem eitzim uchanim, you bring other prepared wood, umasikam, and then you burn them together. Okay? And that, in other words, if that's the only ones, if it's the only ones that came in, So you put other ones that were prepared, and then they'll be nullified in the majority, and then you can use them.
How would you know that the...
Only if you did. It was Pinchas where you knew. In other words, you had some wood allocated before Yom Tov, you were going to use it,
right.
And now a bunch of branches fell right into the stove.
No, I'm talking before even though they fell in the stove. I'm just saying, how would you know if they fell during Yom Tov or just before Yom Tov?
I mean, we'd have to say, right before Yom Tov, you saw them on the tree. You wake up in the morning, you see they're on the stove. So you figured they'd have to fall on Yom Tov. I mean, just by powers of reason, it fell into them. So, now, see, why are we leaning? Because you couldn't use your stove. Right? What's going to happen? Well, because if they were mukzah, could you move them? Can't move them out of the oven if they're mukzah. So you just toss other ones in and burn the whole thing and you can use it. All right. Arema sateven va'otza shaleitzim, a pile of straw or a storage amount of wood. Okay. That were really designated for sales. Not to feed your animals, but for sale. So ein maschil vav yontif. You can't partake of them on yontif. Elam ken eichem vav. Unless you went out of your way to prepare them on erev yontif, say normally I would sell them, but I see I'm short. I wanted to use it in front of them. You can use it. Neishem muskas. It's generally muskas. You plan on selling them. V'im hoya hatevin ma'orev v'kotzim. What if the straw was mixed with thorns? And since it's mixed with thorns, it's not something that you could readily sell. Okay. Where is that footnote? 1 second. Right? So it was mixed with thorns. Shara'ena royal age, because all you could do is burn it. So reza mukhan, that's prepared, because it's wood that you want for burning. If it's straw that doesn't have thorns in it, that could be fodder for an animal. You could sell that. But if it got straw with thorns, you can't feed it to animals. You can't sell it, so it's only good for fire, so that's okay. Okay, yud base. We'll do one more. The ein mevakim eitzim misvor shokoros. You can't chop trees or woods from a pile of beams that you have laid on the ground that they shouldn't bend because you want to use them for building purposes. In other words, let's just say simply a bunch of beams that you've lied down, that generally the way that you've lied them down means you're going to use them for building purposes. So now it's Yom Tov here, I'm a little short of wood. I'll start chopping these things. I'll chop into a few pieces and I'll throw it into the fire. I'll have for the fire. You're not allowed to do that. And they say muksa, that's muksa. They're ready since they've been stretched out in a way to show you want to keep them good, nice, straight planks. You want to use it for building purposes. You didn't plan on using it for fire purposes. You can't use it on Yom Tov. Or similarly, v'lomi nakorish nish brav Yom Tov, or a regular good old-fashioned beam that broke on Yom Tov. You can't use it in Eshinola because now a new use has developed, which you didn't plan on using before Yom Tov. V'chein kelim shenish b'Yom Tov, similar utensil that broke on Yom Tov. Ein masigma, you can't burn them. Neishem no, because it's transformed into a new item. Before it was an item that could be used for purposes of use as a utensil. Now it's only good for fire. Nolad is another form of mutzah. On the other hand, what if you do the following? What if you take a complete utensil and just toss it in? Of a masikim became a shlemi. You could burn a complete utensil. Okay? O bekeim shnishber erev yantiv, or utensils are broken erev yantiv. Why? Shehuchnu mumach chesnor, because they've been prepared for another activity even from the night before. In other words, let's see, what are you not allowed to use? If the utensil was good before yantiv, and you didn't plan on using it for a fire, and then it broke on yantiv. So now that's nolad. It's a new thing has come in. It's not a utensil anymore. Nolad is a new use, and a new use, you can't use that on Yom Tov. But if you got a good utensil, and you just take the utensil and just throw it into the fire. Well, it wasn't muksa when it was a nice cup, a nice wooden cup. Is it muksa on Yom Tov? No. So I take it, I'm throwing it in the fire. I could do that. If it was a cup before Yom Tov, and then it broke, now it's changed on Yom Tov. Now it's a new thing. It's a nolad. I can't use that on Yom Tov. But if I take the cup, I can take a cup before it broke. I'm taking the cup. I throw it in the fire. I can't. But once I throw it in the fire, I can't touch it anymore. I can't like stoke it around because then it becomes muktzah after the fact. But to throw it in, I can't. Or if it broke before Yom Tov, and I said, oh, it's broken before Yom Tov, so now I'm going to use it for firewood on it. I can do that as well. Kiyotzeba similarly, it's a little bit difficult Rambam this part now. It goes in mushkedim, nuts or almonds. Shachom Erev Yontif. You ate them on Erev Yontif, and now you got shells on Erev Yontif. So what can you do with those shells? On Yontif? Masikim beklipayim Yontif. You can now use those shells to burn them. Why? Because since it was on Erev Yontif, you already knew there were shells, and I could use them for burning, so it's like they were designated for burning. But v'machlum v'yontif, what if you ate them on Yontif, and now the shells came into being, and masikim beklipayim, you cannot use those shells, because that is nolad again. They were food, and now they're not food on Yontif. All you can do is throw them out. You can't use them for fire. That is from a particular, the Rambam is quoting from a particular text of Talmud. The Rambam brings out, in this version, he says, but you know, there's another text, another Talmudic text that says the opposite, so I'm kind of not resolved in this area. He says, V'yesh Nuschos, there's other texts of the Talmud that seem to say differently. Sheishman that read the following. She'im acholam of Erev, if you eat the nuts on Erev Yontif, and you got shells, then ain masikim bekleim. You don't use the shells. The opposite of what I just said. Why? Sherei huktsu. Because they have now become muktsa. What do you mean, why have they now become muktsa? Because it's not common to use nut shells for using for a fire. It's usually not, usually you use wood, you don't use nut shells. So that, you generally you wouldn't plan on using that. But what if you ate them on Yontif? It's the opposite. Then it says, Masikim, you can burn them. Why? Because there was something you could have, they weren't muksa because they were worthy to be used with the food. Because I was able to touch it on Yontif, and there was not muksa at all. So there's a bunch of rabbis that start a whole thing over here. Is this Rambam second edition correct? One of the rabbis I never saw such a Gemara. Others say, maybe you didn't see it, but we know lots of Gemaras that lots of things were out. So it could be it is a legitimate text. So from the Rambam, we're not clear how he comes out in this case with the shells. All right, you know, let's just do one more quick one, a short one. One more. Kotz ratuv, a thorny branch that's moist. Now, what is the odds of a person using that for firewood? Not very high. Harehu muksa, that's muksa. Why? It's not worthy for fire. Lafika, therefore, so now you can't use it for anything. Guy figures, okay, I'm going to be smart. I want to make a spit. I want to grill a chicken. So I'm going to take this long thorny branch and skewer the chicken, and that will become the spit. All right. Lafika still also the last is komo shaputu tzosbos. You can't even use it for a spit to roast the meat. And or anything similar because once it was a wet thorny branch, the guy probably had no intention of using it at all on Yontif, and he becomes with a new use. He's not able to do it. Okay. Square. Good place to stop. And then we'll come prepared tomorrow. All right. Okay.